We're doing Koheles. We're up to what's called the sixth chapter, the seventh pasuk. Kol amal ha'adam lefihu. A person's toil is focused on his mouth. What does that mean? We work very hard, but what we're really working is to be able to have food, to be able to live. It's a very basic need. And it's interesting that much of what we work is to cover that need. Vegam hanefesh lo timale. And here there are dual understandings. One understanding is that a person also watches his soul. Vegam hanefesh. He also watches out for his soul, and so he gives charity. Another understanding is kol amal ha'adam lefihu. A person works to enjoy in this world, in the world to come. V'gam ha'nefesh lo timalei. It's going back on the person we've been describing, that a person who can never be comfortable, be satisfied. Ah, you've been following. A person who can never be satisfied, so that person, poor fellow, he works so hard for this world, the world to come, but he has this bad trait, that he is always searching for more, and then poor guy, his soul will never find comfort, he's never going to be satisfied. So that's a continuation of what we saw last week. About the person who can have all the wealth and live 2,000 years and have hundreds of kids and have everything he wants, but no, he's always going to want more. So he can't even appreciate sunlight. He can't even appreciate a beautiful day. He'll never have more pleasure from this than that because he's always wanting more. And so life is never going to be enough for him. So that person, we continue and speak about him. Kol amal adam lefihu, he's working all the time to take in, to eat, to get more in this world, the world to come, yet his soul is never going to be satiated. So that's a second interpretation in the pasuk. Now, on this pasuk, we have a fantastic and a very, very, very important medrash. The medrash says, what is it similar to? And this medrash really hits the core of much of our lives, much of being human. Medrash says, what's it similar to? There was a shepherd who was going out with the sheep, and the princess saw him and was taken by him and was so taken by his personality that she came home to her dad and said, I must marry that shepherd. And her dad says, he's a shepherd. He's illiterate. He lives with the sheep. She says, he's amazing. He's everything I ever wanted. I must marry him. And her father says, you're a princess. You grew up in my palace. You've had all the fine things in life. He won't be able to give you any of that. She says, I don't care. That's what I want. So her father begrudgingly lets her go, and she elopes with this shepherd. I don't need any fancy wedding. I don't need any of this. I'm going with him. So she goes off with the shepherd. And her father wishes her well, and she goes her merry way. And the shepherd is thrilled. He can't believe his good fortune. What a good girl. What a perfect girl. She's so pristine and beautiful. And he brings her to his home. And the first day, he goes out to watch the sheep. And he comes back and he says, honey, I have a surprise for you. He's holding his hand behind his back. She's smiling. What is it? And he brings out, he takes out from behind his back, a sheep, a young sheep that he just slaughtered, dripping with blood. And he says, here, I brought this for you. So she looks at him and she's like, ooh, what's that? He says, what do you mean? I slaughtered fine sheep. We're going to have a steak tonight. She says, but it's dripping with blood. It's disgusting and it stinks. And he's hurt. He brought her the finest sheep. He slowly but surely slices it up. He puts up a fire. He prepares her the steak. And they sit down and have the steak together. And she's chewing it and he's chewing it. And it's just not what he expected. And it's not what she expected. She grew up on steaks. Yeah. She got steaks, but not like this. Okay. The next day, he leaves. He wishes her, honey, have a great day. He goes out. Comes back home. He has his hand behind his back again. Honey, I have a surprise for you. She's smiling. What is this time? Brings out his hand from behind his back. And he has fresh sheepskin. You know, he just sheared a sheep. She says, what's that? He says, I just sheared a sheep in your honor. We could make something nice for you. She says, that stinks. That's filthy. He says, yeah, but it's for you. She's accustomed to silk, the finest clothing, the finest bedding, and he's bringing her stinky, filthy sheep here. Okay. The third day, he knows what he's going to do. He comes back home, he has his hand behind his back, and she's already forcing that smile on her face. He says, you won't believe what I brought you today. I went all out. I traveled really far with all the sheep that he brings out from behind his back. He has this metal bucket filled with oats. She looks at him and she says, what's that? He says, fresh oats. Fresh, fresh oats. I went out to the farthest field to get you the freshest oats. And she looks at him and she's thinking, that's dog food. He brought me dog food. And day after day, try as he may, he can't bring a smile on her face. And as the marriage proceeds, it becomes more and more frustrating for him and to her. And it's like he can never make her happy. And she looks at him and she starts realizing he's never going to make me happy. Says the Medrash, the princess is our neshama, the soul that came down to the world. And the shepherd is our body. And our body repeatedly tells our neshama, look what I have for you. A fancy car. I have for you air conditioning. Pizza. We keep thinking that we will make our neshama happy by bringing it material goods. And we repeatedly pursue material goods, thinking, I'll be so happy when I have it. And then we discover it's just not there. There's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. We pursue it. But when we get there, it's not there. Vegam ha-nefesh lo timalei. Shlomo HaMelech says, the soul looks at all the good you try to give it. Kol amala adam lefiu. As hard as a person works, stuffing his face. They tell me there's this new restaurant in Jerusalem where you pay a certain flat fee and you eat as much as you can eat. No limit. I heard people sitting behind me on the bus, they were discussing these youngsters. I didn't eat breakfast or lunch before I went there for supper. And the third guy says, well, I didn't eat for 2 days beforehand. I was on a minimal diet. And each one is discussing how they prepared themselves to stuff their faces in. Kol amala adam lefihu, a man could work so hard to stuff his face. And this is an allegory. It doesn't literally mean eating. One guy's working to eat, another guy's working in order to drive a Ferrari, a third guy's working in order to have 8 digits in his bank account. But as hard as he works, v'gam ha-nefesh lo timalei. When he gets there, he has this perpetual disappointment. It's not as good as I thought it would be. It's just not it. It's like the princess. You keep trying to feed her oats. She's just not going to be happy. So Hashem put within us a soul, and the soul is yearning for so much more. And when we try to give it things that are so mundane, we try to make ourselves happy with things that are minuscule. We have a giant soul, and we take these little things and say, here, be happy with that. V'gam ha-nefesh lo timalei. And this is one of the key elements, one of the key frustrations of humanity. People pursue, and when they attain, they suddenly discover they're not as happy as they thought they'd be. It's just not it. It's fascinating. My 9-year-old is talking to me about this motion. You guys know what this motion is? This is what you do on an iPhone or on an Android to make the picture bigger. What? Like this, right? I've seen it, right? So my 9-year-old is already talking to you about, why don't I get one of those phones where you do this? And I have to ask him, why should I get one of those phones where you could do this? But even a 9-year-old is being bombarded by the culture with this thought, that's what you need. We have needs. Come on, man. You know, I have needs. You have needs. We all have needs. But as we pursue those things, we keep discovering, but the soul is just not full from it. It hasn't reached satiation. So that's the medrash on this pasuk. To my mind, this medrash is a whole philosophy for life. It's a pity to continue from this pasuk, because I think we just have to absorb and think about what the medrash said. Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll pick up in the next pasuk next week.